share with me this morning that she's got a friend whose grandpa's very sick. And so her friend's name is Rebecca. And so we want to pray for Rebecca's grandpa today. Any other prayer requests that we have? Yes.
Katie's not here. She's on her way.
Okay.
She's going in tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to have that nerve block put in her back. She will be in Fresno. I believe she says she has to be there at 8 because surgery will probably be at 9. So hopefully she'll be home around 8.
Oh, really? Just right back home, huh?
Yeah. It's just outpatient surgery.
Okay. And then... Larry, Rebecca's surgery's on Friday?
The 12th, yes. I think that's Friday.
Okay. So pray for, that's Rebecca Lazarek, and then David's surgery is in March. So we'll be praying for those also. Yes, Dolores? Okay. And then... Dustin had a couple tests run. They're waiting on results. He's just having some pains, but he's doing better. So that's good. So just pray for that. Yes, Miss Deborah.
Even though my mom is here, after that cold she had that I had, it went to her chest, and she's been having her asthma out of control. Mm. So if we can pray that her asthma can get back into control.
You got it. Any others? Well, let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with our sister Katie as she goes in tomorrow for her procedures, Lord, and for the surgery, and just pray, Lord, she'll be home resting tomorrow afternoon. We pray for Rebecca as she has her gallbladder surgery on the 12th. David with major surgery coming up in March. We just continue to pray that you would shrink the growth and that it wouldn't be as bad as it has appeared to be, Lord, and that, God, you would take care of it. We pray for Abby's friend Rebecca and her grandfather that's very sick, and we just pray, Lord, for her, and just be with Abby as she, Lord, reaches out and serves her friend in prayer. We thank you for that. We pray for Dustin. Thank you that he's feeling better. For Marlena, she deals with her asthma and her health. Lord, just give her a good day today, Father. And we just pray for Leanne and others that are dealing with the flus of the season, the COVIDs of the season. We just pray for them that you would just lift them up and heal them, Lord. Ask you to be with our nation. Just continue to watch over it. We pray, Lord, for the Christians around the world who are still being persecuted, martyred, and not much is being said about it. But, Lord, we pray for them. We know what's happening, and we lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, for this body of believers as we, Lord, kind of get back on our normal schedule with Awana tonight and with our evening services. And, Lord, we don't know what 2024 holds, but we know today we gather together to worship you, to praise your name, to lift you up. We thank you for hearing our prayer requests this morning and ask your will, and you're answering each one of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's start with hymn number 500. I will sing the wondrous story. Hymn number 500. Let's stand as we sing our first hymn today.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. On the last, He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over when my journey is complete. Sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Beautiful singing. We'll be starting a study in Jeremiah this morning. So we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and just read verses 4 through 8. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet of the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, but hold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated at this time. We'll continue our singing with hymn number 116, hymn number 116, This Is My Father's World.
This is my father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hands the wonders wrought. This is my father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare the Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks
. 460. This is going to kind of be our theme for today and the first part of 2024. He leadeth me. And we'll learn from the example of Jeremiah how he followed God, how God led him through difficult times. And so hymn number 460, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought, oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand, he leadeth me. Sometimes the scene's up deep is gloom. Sometimes we're Eden's bowers bloom. By water still or trouble, sea still, 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
On the last.
And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Beautiful singing this morning, beautiful playing, ladies. Thank you so much. It's a blessing to have both of you doing such a great job always every week. Once again, we want to welcome you to Bible Christian Church, and we do like to start with birthdays. Anybody have a birthday around this time coming up? Miss Marlena?
It's not mine, but it's my sister's birthday, Esther, tomorrow.
Esther, tomorrow.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Esther. Maria? February the 18th, getting closer and closer. Yes. Really? It's been a year?
And God willing, there'll be another birthday in July.
Oh! Wow, Piper, that was so fast. Oh, it's Stephanie. Okay. Well, congratulations. We'll be praying for that in good health. Praise the Lord. Any others? I know it was a Daniel's daughter that had a birthday?
Yesterday.
Okay, I knew one of the grandkids. Okay, very good. All right, well, let's say happy birthday to these. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Any anniversaries? Yes. Happy anniversary. How many years?
37.
Congratulations. Very good. All right. By way of announcements, there's a lot going on today. It's Awana starts back up tonight at 5 o'clock, and it's snowball and s'mores night. And so we're going to have real fake snowballs and real fake s'mores. So that's done. There's also a deacon's meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And then our evening Bible studies are back on in tow, both Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Wednesdays, we're going through the book of Job. We've been going through the Old Testament, and they've been pretty deep studies. So we encourage you on Wednesday nights. They're online if you can't make it on Sunday night. The Wednesday evening Bible studies are on our YouTube at BCC LeGrand. You can find them there. And then Sunday night, tonight at 6:30, we'll continue. We ended up, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We've been going through the New Testament on the evening services. So those are both coming up. And then I think that's all the announcements I had. Anything else that's coming up that I missed? All right. Dad, if you want to come and do worship for us, that'll be great. Once again, congratulations to you. I encourage you to stand for worship. If you prefer to be seated, you're more than welcome to do so.
Psalm 36, starting in verse 5. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise, he can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. Heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. Let me all your love accepting, love you ever all my days. Let me seek your kingdom only, and my life be to thy praise. You alone shall be my glory, being in this world I see. Fight me, you yourself have set me free. Who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise, he can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days.
This next song is actually taken directly from Psalm 130 and just adapted to music. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption.
Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, hear my voice of pleading. Bend down your gracious ear, I pray, your humble servant heeding. If you remembered each misdeed and of each thought, remain before you only by grace alone. Your pardon is a gift of love, your grace alone must save us. Our works will not remove our guilt. The strictest life would fail us. Let none in deeds or merits boast. Let us own the Holy Ghost, for he alone can change us. Only by grace alone.
great our sins and sore our woes, His grace much more abounded, His helping love no limit knows. Our utmost need it sounded, our kind and faithful shepherd He, who will set all His people free. All their Psalm 145, beginning in verse 3, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate.
You are holy. You are mighty, You are worthy, worthy of praise. I will follow, I will listen, I will love You all of my days. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore Him. I will bow down before Him. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore Him. I will bow down before Him. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for You. You are holy. You are mighty. You are worthy, worthy of praise. I will follow, I will listen, I will love You all of my days. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore Him. I will bow down before Him. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore Him. I will bow down before Him. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for You all of my days.
Jeremiah 33, I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel, and rebuild them as they were at first. I will cleanse from them all the guilt of their sin against me, and I will forgive all the guilt of their sin and rebellion against me. And this city shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and a glory before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear of all the good that I do for them. They shall fear and tremble because of all the good and all the prosperity I provide for it.
Thank you.
beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. Stand, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, yet God crushed you for my sin. In agony and deep affliction, cut off that I might enter in. Who can grasp such tender compassion? Who can fathom this mercy so free? You are beautiful beyond description, Lamb of God who died for me. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in. I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that truly we would stand in awe of you this morning, that we would stand in awe of your holiness and your greatness, Lord, and bear in mind that in all your perfection and all your holiness, Lord, you humbled yourself and you took the form of a man and you bore our iniquities for us. And you make these incredible promises, Lord, of blessing and of hope and prosperity and of redemption, and we just can't fathom that, Lord. I pray that each heart here would worship you today, Lord, in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Children's Church, are you dismissed at this time? Thank you, Miss Grace. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Jeremiah. Chapter 1. So about 6 months ago, I heard a message in Jeremiah and then did some Bible reading in Jeremiah. And then someone else was talking about Jeremiah. And Jeremiah kept coming up. And it's always, you know, when we finish a book and we just spent most of 2023 in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And so where we were going to go next. And there was unction, as Dave likes to say, from the Holy Spirit to go to Jeremiah. And I told God no about seven times. Because it's a long book. It's a long book. Yet the more I looked into it and studied it, there's no doubt this is where God wants us to be. And there's a couple of reasons why. Let's look at the first three verses. The words of Jeremiah. the son of Hilkiah. So this is written by Jeremiah himself. He's writing a little bit of a kind of a diary of his life. Of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Anathoth is a little land that was set aside for the priests. In Joshua 21:18, we're told that. And so he was the son of a priest called by God to be a prophet. He says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came in the days of Jehoiakim, the sons of Josiah, the king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. So he gives in those first three verses a little bit of a timeline. He began to be a prophet in the 13th year of Josiah. Now Josiah was a king who came to become a king at a very young age, 8 years old. And he brought revival and restored kind of godly focus to Israel. Found the book of God and began to read it. And he reigned 31 years. So at his 13th year of his reign, here comes Jeremiah. So Jeremiah comes at a pretty good time. God is being worshipped. People have put away their idols. But they really haven't completely turned to God. After Josiah dies, his son takes over, who turns Israel completely away from God. He reigns for 11 years. And then Zedekiah comes in, who was the last king of Judah, and he reigns for 11 years. There's a couple kings in between, Jehoahaz and Jehoiachin, but they only reign for 3 months each. So they're not included in these first three verses. And so we have a prophet who was very unsuccessful. In fact, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because no one listens to him. For the entire 40 to 50 years of his prophetic time on this planet, people do not listen to him. In fact, under Josiah, things are pretty good. Under Jehoiakim, he actually takes the words that he writes down and he tears them up in front of him and throws them in the fire. Zedekiah throws him in jail. Doesn't want anything to do with him. And so this is the plight of Jeremiah. A man called by God to preach his word to a people who are not going to listen. And I think that's a good theme for 2024 in the world today. The world as a whole wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Our nation appears to want less and less to do with Jesus every day. And so what are we to do? What are we to do as a church, as the body of Christ, living in a time when people don't want to listen? Well, that's why we're studying Jeremiah. He's going to give us a little bit of a example and warnings and encouragement during a time when the majority of people are not going to want to listen to you about Jesus. It's just the way that it is. In 1 Chronicles 35:25, it says, Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. So once Josiah died, things really got bad. And Jeremiah laments it. So let me ask you how many times you have thought or how many times you have heard someone say to you, boy, I wish our nation would go back the way it was. Back when it was one nation under God. Back when it was in God we trust. Back when the name of Jesus was respected in our country. Well, those days are behind us. Are they coming back again? We pray that they will. But if they don't, they didn't for Jeremiah. You look at Jeremiah and all the things that he did and all the things that he went through, you would think that God would give him a little bit of a, wow, revival, and blessings for your work, and we don't ever see it. It's interesting because his message was very interesting. The Assyrians came and took Israel of the north. Remember the divided kingdom? There was Israel and Judah. We had King Saul, King David, King Solomon. And then after King Solomon, the nation divided. And the northern has already been taken captive by Assyria. And the warnings of Jeremiah is, you guys are not learning from other people's mistakes. You need to turn back to God because there's a nation, Babylon, coming. They're already, Assyrian power is shrinking and the Babylonian power under Nebuchadnezzar is growing. And they have an eye on Jerusalem, an eye on Israel. They know there's gold and great things that they can take. And the warning for Jeremiah is turn back to God or Babylon is coming. They didn't listen. And Babylon came, and that's how we have the book of Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, don't we have a similar message? Isn't the king coming? Let me read this verse to you. 2 Timothy 4:1. It's the verse that's in your handouts if you want to look at it. But it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So what's Christ going to do when he returns? He's going to judge the living and the dead. So what are we supposed to do according to verse 2? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So what do you think it means in season and out of season? Preach the word in season and out of season. Well, in season is when people are going to listen to you. Out of season is when they're not. And we seem to be in a time in history where the gospel is out of season. And so we can learn from Jeremiah on how do we minister to a world that wants nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Nothing to do with the gospel. In fact, in many nations you will be arrested, martyred, persecuted, killed, just for mentioning the name of Jesus, just for having a Bible in your hand. How do we minister during this time in history? Well, that's why we're going to look at Jeremiah. So look at verse 4. So the word came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet of the nation. So the first thing God says to Jeremiah is you are going to be a prophet. And I've had this plan for you since before you were even in your mother's womb. This is one of the verses that you can add them all together and show the egregiousness of abortion. That life is created by God with a purpose, a meaning. This is a common theme throughout Scripture. Isaiah was a great prophet. And Isaiah says this in Isaiah 49:1, listen, O coastlands, to me and take heed, you peoples afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he hath made mention of my name. Verse 5, he says, now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant. Isaiah knew the same thing as Jeremiah. My calling to be a prophet was laid upon me before I was even in the womb of my mother. David understood this. Listen to these verses. Psalm 139:13. You formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and your book they were written, the days fashioned for me when they were none of them yet. So David goes even further. He says, you know, you not only knew me, but you fearfully and wonderfully made me. And you had a plan for my days that were laid out before any of my days were even lived. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. What does an author do? He writes your story. He lays it out. The Apostle Paul knew this. He said in Galatians 1:15, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. And we know it took Paul a while to find out what his calling was, didn't it? He was one of the persecutors. And yet God revealed to him on that road to Damascus. What's the point I'm trying to make? It's the same for every person in this room. You were fearfully and wonderfully made and placed on earth in 2024 to do a work for God. You were called by God to live for him in a time in history where the gospel is out of season. And we either take that challenge or we run from it. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. Before the foundations of the world, you were in the eyes of God. He had a plan for you. He had a purpose for you. He had a time in history. There are certain things that we cannot control. Who our biological parents are, you had no control over that. You cannot control your race. You can't control your gender. You can't control the time in history in which you were born. These are all greatly purposed and predestined by God. So are we going to accept the challenge of being the church of God in 2024, when the time seems to be out of season? We might be called by God to live in America at the greatest revival that this nation has ever seen. Wouldn't that be great? I'm sure that's what Jeremiah hoped for 50 years. Never came. And yet he never stopped preaching the word. Let's go back to Jeremiah. Look what God tells him. And he says, look, I've ordained you before you were in your mother's womb to be a prophet among the nations. And Jeremiah's response in verse 6, then I said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm just a youth. I can't do this. What are you talking? And that might be our first response to sharing the gospel out of season. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of shy. I don't really know the Bible that well. I don't really know that I can do this. And God says to him, do not say I'm a youth. You shall go to all whom I send you. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. If you've ever seen somebody online preaching on the street or sharing the gospel, and you see the faces of those who hate it, there's a certain satanic thing behind those eyes of some of those faces. And he tells Jeremiah, no, I don't be afraid of their faces. He says, just tell them whatever I command you. That's the secret. The secret to success in out-of-season ministry is to stick to the words that God shares with us. And where do we find those words? In the Bible. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. You guys have known me for a long time. I'm not smart enough to stand up here and share you my opinions about the world and things like that. I'm ignorant. I don't know what God's going to do. But I trust this book. 100%. Look what God does in verse 9. He puts his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Has God done the same with us? He's done better. He's given us a book that has all the words we need to share all the truths of God with the world, whether it's in season or out of season. All we have to do is study. Study thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. And we just simply share what God has to say. And you may say, man, how are we going to get through this long book of Jeremiah? Well, God wouldn't have placed this in the Holy Scriptures if they didn't have great value and great purpose. My only regret this morning is that we can't get to chapter 26 soon enough. I wish I could stay here and just go through the whole book today. Trust me, it's a blessing. And he says, I will put my words in your mouth. See, verse 10, I have this day set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Within that one little phrase is everything we're supposed to do in the world today. We're simply supposed to take the teachings that are false and root them out and pull them down. Here's what the Bible says. The weapons of our warfare, this is 2 Corinthians 10:4. It's a New Testament verse. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's our purpose here, to listen to what's being taught and then to compare it with scriptures. And if it's not biblical, to tear it down and to build up and plant what is right. The planting is the gospel, isn't it? The seeds that fall on what kind of ground? Good ground, thorny ground, stony ground. 25% of it falls on good ground. I think it's probably less than that in 2024. But that doesn't keep it, because some plant, some water, some reap. There's still people being saved every day. Did you know that? God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And so we keep on keeping on, sowing the seeds. He has put the words in our mouth. Here's what the Bible says about how he is going to communicate in these last days. Hebrews 11:1. God at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. In the past, he spoke what way? By the prophets. He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So in the past, he spoke through prophets. In the present, in the last days, he speaks through his Son. Well, how does he speak through his Son? Well, it says of Jesus in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. So when we are speaking the scriptures, we are speaking Jesus. I had a good conversation the other day, I think it was with Larry and Stan a little bit, about red letter Bibles. How many have a red letter Bible? I like my red letter Bible. I've always liked my little red letter Bible. But in truth, every letter in the Bible should be red. Not just red, but the color red. Because every word in Scripture is the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the truth. So when we are preaching the Scriptures, we are speaking the words of the Son, Jesus Christ. And in these last days, this book is the way we communicate the truth of God's Word. Beware of anybody who says, God spoke to me and told me, and God said this, and God had this. We have enough. The word of God is enough. Be careful. If we can get words outside the scriptures, then anybody can say anything and just say it came from God. We are protected by the Bible. We're protected by the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. This is what we trust. It protects us. It protects us from getting off into, we have the Bible here and our denominational doctrine here. And they're separate. I don't want any denominational doctrine over here. I have the Bible. We have the Word. We have Christ. Christ is enough. So our call of God from before we were in our mother's womb is exactly the same as Jeremiah. I want you to, in these last days, use the Bible. I'll put my words in your mouth. I'll write them down for you. Just tell people what I say. In season and out of season. We're no different than Jeremiah. The message is different. His message was, turn to God because Babylon's coming if you don't. Our message is, turn to God because Jesus is coming back. And don't wait until it's too late. They didn't like Jeremiah's message, and many people don't like ours. If you tell somebody that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, that makes every other religion wrong. And people don't like that. And you say, well, Pastor, you're pretty arrogant to think you're the only way. I don't. I don't think we're the only way. But Jesus says it's the only way. So I'm trusting what he says, do you see? I don't have an opinion about religion. I was in Scientology for 7 days. What do I know? But I've been following this book for over 40 years, and it's never been wrong. Verse 11, we'll go quicker on these. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? So now Jeremiah gets his first lesson from God. And God's going to use a lot of very interesting illustrations and dramatic things to teach Jeremiah lessons. And the first one is about something we all know about around here, an almond tree. I didn't know what an almond tree was till we moved out to LeGrand. I didn't know it was called ammon or almond. But he says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? He says, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And so why an almond tree? Well, I don't know anything about almond trees except what I've read, which is in the Hebrew. I don't know if you knew this. It's called the wakeful tree. Anybody know that? Called the Hebrew word for almond tree is wakeful tree. And the reason it's called a wakeful tree is because it's the first tree to blossom from winter to spring. And we know, this is one thing I know about almond trees. They're beautiful when they blossom. And when we used to live over on LeGrand Road on that Persley home. Is it that way or that way? Whatever. But we would... All the trees around would turn that like snow white. And one day I just walked as far as I could. So I couldn't see anything, but it was beautiful. There's nothing like it. So it's called the wakeful tree. And what God is telling Jeremiah is, for example, if he came to us today and said, hey, look at this almond tree. What he'd be telling us is, I'm coming back. It's time. I'm done wasting my time with Israel. I'm awakened. I'm blossomed. It's time for the harvest. The word in the Hebrew to wake up, I read this this week. I thought it was interesting, but it compared it to an alarm clock. It's time that I'm waking up. And then I thought about the fact that I don't know anybody that likes their alarm clock. No matter how restful you're sleeping, as soon as it goes off, it's not, oh, yay, I'm awake. It's, snooze, snooze, snooze. Well, that's how it is when we want the world to wake up to Christ. You're sleeping. You're in the dark. You don't know the truth. Wake up, America. How many times have you wanted to say that? Wake up, world. Wake up, family. Wake up, neighbors. And they say, snooze, snooze. I'll go, just leave me alone. So then he gets his message in verse 12. He says to me, or verse 13, then the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? I said, I see a boiling pot. It's facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north, calamity shall break forth out of all the inhabitants in the land. Behold, I'm calling the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. They will come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against the walls all round it, against the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, they burn incense to other gods, and they worship the works of their own hands. Let me read that last part of verse 16. They worshiped the works of their own hands. Sound like 2024? See, the world has forsaken me. They've turned to themselves as gods. They've turned to their pleasure as gods. And it is time for the world to wake up. I want you to go deliver this message to them, Jeremiah, and tell them that like a boiling cauldron, that the Babylon is coming from the north. And I'm going to deliver Judah over to them if they don't turn around and stop worshiping these idols. And we say to the world that there's a boiling pot called hell. And that is going to be their eternal destiny if they don't turn to Jesus Christ. And the world looks at us like we are the cruelest, most narrow-minded, evil people in the world, that we would condemn someone to hell. They don't understand we're not condemning people to hell. We're trying to rescue them through the word of God. And God says, don't worry about their faces. Don't, they're going to marvel not that the world hates you. They need to know this is the truth. They need to know. Verse 17, therefore, prepare yourself. Arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. God, the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I don't know that we have enough time to be ashamed of the gospel, to try to figure out whether we're going to share it or not share it. I know it's hard. I know it cost me a relationship with my parents for years, friends. I know it's cost you something. But that's why God says, prepare yourself. Just speak to them all I command you. Let me encourage you. If you are sharing your opinion about religion, it doesn't go over very well. But if you're sharing the verses, if you're sharing the scriptures, what else can a person say? Verse 18, I love these verses. Behold, I've made you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall. You think God's done that for us? You think God's going to protect us, going to guard us? You're a bronze wall against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, against the people of the land. They will fight against you. Can you read that first part with me? Ready, begin. They will fight against you. Let's read it again. They will fight against you. The gospel's out of season. And they're going to fight against the gospel. They're going to fight against it in your family. They're going to fight against it in our city. They're going to fight against it in our state for sure. But look what he says. but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you. Is that true today? Be strong. Be courageous. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 16, 18, Peter was talking about the church. And God says, Peter, this is my church. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. You know what he says next about the church? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. What a promise. The gates of hell, not Satan or his demons. Because guess what? Greater is he that is in us than what? He that's in the world. So like Joshua, we want to be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will teach others also. You must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do you think it's going to be easy? No, we need each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to be gracious with our weaknesses, because this is hard. It was hard for Jeremiah. Jeremiah wasn't always successful. Jeremiah had moments of weaknesses. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 9:1, though my head were waters, that my eyes were fountains of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. What happens when people don't listen? What happens when our loved ones want nothing to do with us because of our stand for Christ? Well, we weep. The Bible says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." And then this is my favorite verse in the whole book of Jeremiah. And it's in chapter 20. This is the last verse we're going to read today. But if you have your Bibles, if you look at Jeremiah 20, this is remarkable, because I can really relate to it. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah is speaking at a particular moment of despair and discouragement. And he says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm done." I've had those moments. You know, I think I'm an okay, nice guy. I know a lot of people don't like me, but it'd be nice that people did. I try to be nice as best I can. Jeremiah was just done. He was tired of the battles. But look at the second part of verse 9. The first part, "I will not mention of him anymore, nor speak in his name. But his word was in my heart, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." That's what we want. We want the Holy Spirit to be so prevalent in our life that even if we tried to stop sharing Jesus, we couldn't do it. He says, "I tried. I was done. No more am I going to talk about you, God." But then it was burning in my bones. I was tired of holding it back. I couldn't stop. "No, you're wrong. Turn away from that idol. No, that's not religion. That's not going to lead you to heaven. No, works are not going to lead you to heaven. No, your riches are not going to lead you to heaven." Oh, man, I wasn't going to say anything. But I just had to. It's those things you type. Do I press send? Do I press send? Do I post it or not post it? Before the world is formed, you were called to be here to deliver the message of Christ at this particular time in history. His words are right in front of you. Study them, know them, share them. Knowing not many will receive it, but we press on, learning from Jeremiah's example. And I pray that we would have such a presence of the Holy Spirit that we would be weary of not talking about Jesus. That's what we would get weary of. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gospel. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, Lord, for our time in history. Even though the gospel seems to be out of season, Lord, it's the time in history before the foundations of the world that we were created to live in. I pray, Lord, especially for our young people, Lord, those in their teens and 20s, Lord, as they carry this banner of the gospel through an uncertain next generation. Let, Lord, you would give them strength, you would give them courage, and give them the presence of Christ throughout their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that last song that we sang. Let's stand. What's that called? I stand in awe of you as we close this morning. That's really the first step. Your personal view of Jesus Christ, how real he is to you, that will be a huge determination on how bold we share him. I stand in awe.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Can fathom the depths of your love. You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, yet God crushed you for my sin. In agony and deep affliction, cut off that I might enter in. Who can grasp such tender compassion? Who can fathom this mercy so free? You are beautiful beyond description, the God who died for me. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Wish I could tell you there's a great revival coming and God's going to do great things in 2024. I have no idea what he's going to do in 2024. I have no idea if people are going to listen or not listen. But I do know that he has placed his words in your mouth. He's written them down for you, and our command of God is to share them, to share them. It's going to be a good study, only 51 chapters to go, going to be a piece of cake. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We're going.
Yeah, whatever. It's a great meal. I could say, yeah, if that means anything.
Yeah.